Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Peter. This week, we'll be talking about some of the new Victor Reader products from Humanware, including the portable version, the Victor Reader Stream, and the desktop version, the Victor Reader Stratus.
We'll be talking with Matthew Janisauskas, the Technical Product Manager for Victor Reader Products at Humanware. And we'll start by talking about the company and the products in general. And then towards the end of the show, we'll be talking about what's new in these latest versions. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is the show notes on our website that are associated with each episode of the show contain lots of useful information that's intended to augment what's in the audio show each week.
And this is a reminder about the show notes, and hopefully that people are using them and finding them to be useful. What these really are is we give a lot of contact information and links in the show, and some of these links are rather long, and we don't expect people to be writing all that down as they listen. So we've put all these together in one easy place to find. If you click the show notes associated with each show on our website, you'll find all these links and contact information, addresses, phone numbers, etc., so you can make use of these resources to find things a little bit easier.
And this week in particular, some of these links are too long to even attempt to give you verbally. So we'll just direct you to the show notes to find the links that we've collected there.
So let's talk about our website a little bit and how to find some of these things. If you go to our homepage at www.eyesonsuccess.net, the first link you'll find there puts you in a page that has the archive of all of our previous shows, which is over 130 by now, a brief description of all these shows, along with a link to each show so you can listen to it or download it, and a link to the show notes associated with that show. Also on our main webpage, if you're just interested in the current week's show, the first heading on that page is a little description of the current week's show, along with a link to that show and a link to the show notes. So there are two easy ways to find each show descriptions and the show notes.
And another way to get to the show notes every week, and this is really handy, is to join our listener forum. And this is a very low traffic group. Most of the notes that get posted to it are our weekly announcement that gives a link to that week's podcast, along with the same description that you would find on the website, and a link to the show notes. And if you're interested in joining this forum, you just send a note to Eyes on Success, then the plus sign, subscribe at googlegroups.com. So that's Eyes on Success plus subscribe at googlegroups.com.
So we hope you're finding those resources helpful and that people are making use of these resources. They're intended to make things easy for you to find.
And whatever other traffic is on that listener forum is comments from other listeners and or people we've interviewed on the show about things related to whatever we've spoken about that week. And some of these comments are fascinating. We've really enjoyed reading them and getting to learn a little bit about our listeners.
Finally, if you have any suggestions, comments, or just things you'd like to say to us directly, you can send an email to us by sending a message to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net. We enjoy hearing from you all.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Matthew Janisauskas and learn about Humanware in general.
Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Matthew Janisauskas, and I've been with Humanware for going on 11 years now, I guess, and I work from a home office that's near Chicago, Illinois.
Many of our listeners have visual impairments. Do you?
Yes, I'm totally blind, as are a number of team members at Humanware. So it brings some hands-on experience. I'm a user of the products as well as the product manager.
I think that makes a big difference to the products that come out when the users are the developers and integrated in that environment.
Yes, I completely agree.
And what was the cause of your blindness?
It's a retinal disease that I've had from birth.
So did you learn all your Braille and other mobility skills as a youngster?
Not really. I had a fair amount of usable vision up until about halfway through university, I would say. So I could never read any small print or anything. But as far as mobility, and it was never an issue. But I have zero vision now. So most of those skills you're asking about, and especially Braille, that had to happen as a young adult. So that was quite a challenge, as I'm sure many of your listeners are aware.
I'll bet you that is. Most of the people we talk to who have learned Braille say it's a lot easier if you learn when you're young.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would agree with that based on my own experience. I used the excellent correspondence courses offered by Hadley that I'm sure that you're familiar with, and I can't speak highly enough to the work that Hadley does.
What is your role now at HumanWare?
My actual title is a technical product manager. So essentially my role now, it's classic product management tasks, but kind of with a focus on the more technical side. I work directly with our research and development team. I'm responsible to identify the requirements for the products.
Can you give an overview of what the major product types are that HumanWare covers?
Absolutely. HumanWare, we have a number of product lines in the company. Basically, there's been three categorizations. There's the blindness products, there's low vision products, and there's learning disability products. So in the low vision products, there's some video magnification, CCTVs, and some other solutions, reading devices, scanning and reading solutions. On the blindness side of the company that I've always been involved with the most, we have a line of refreshable Braille displays. There's the Braille Note products that I'm sure many people are familiar with as a note-taker solution. There's GPS products. There's the Trekker Breeze. It's a small handheld GPS device that's specifically designed for the needs of blind travelers, the functions that you wouldn't have in an off-the-shelf GPS. There's the Victor Reader line of digital talking book players. And then on the learning disability side, there's a product called the Classmate Reader, which is cousin, shall we say, of the Victor Reader family, but it has some additional functions. It has a small display screen. It can highlight words as they're being read in the books and some other functions more appropriate to the learning disabled. Lots of exciting things going on at HumanWare, that's for sure.
And we did an earlier show, number 1142, about GPS units that were designed for the visually impaired. And we did mention the Trekker Breeze. It's a nice product.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is HumanWare's Victor Reader products, including the portable Stream version and the desktop Stratus version. We'll be getting lots of information about these from Matthew. If you want more information, you can go to HumanWare's page on the Victor Reader, and we'll have that very long link on our website in the show notes associated with this show.
So we wanted to talk today about some of the new products that you recently introduced, specifically the new version of the Victor Reader Stream, and I understand there's also the larger desktop version. Maybe we can start out by talking about the new Victor Stream?
We launched the new version of the Victor Reader Stream at the end of February. This version of the Stream is actually the fifth generation of DAISY talking book players. HumanWare's been at this for about 15 years. HumanWare's been around longer than that, but as far as DAISY products, about 15 years of experience. So as we say, this is the new Stream. There was a previous model, and the Stream is a handheld player, and then the other products are more of a desktop variety called the Stratus. So what we did with the new Stream is our design goal was to take all of the market feedback and everything that people told us they loved about the original Stream and to make sure that we maintained that and to only enhance and improve and try to meet as many user requests along the way that we've had.
So I expect many of our listeners who are more technically savvy know about the Stream and its capabilities, but there are a large number of people who may not know at all what these devices are like. Can you give us an overview?
Yes, absolutely. The Victor Reader family of products, as I said, there's two sides to the current product offering. So the Stream is the portable or handheld pocket-sized player, and then the Victor Reader Stratus is the desktop-sized player that's a form factor similar to the listeners in the U.S. that are familiar with the digital player that's offered by NLS. It's a similar form factor to that with a very large and powerful speaker. What all of these products, the core function is, we call them digital talking book players. Players, or DAISY is the term you'll hear a lot. So it's all about moving from what was previously analog recordings, four-track cassettes for talking books into the digital world. And what the DAISY and EPUB formats allow for is the same navigation that a sighted person would have access to in a book. So if we take that to the educational arena, for example, a textbook, when the teacher tells the sighted students to go to page 326, when one was asked to do that in Braille volumes in the past or in four-track analog cassettes, it was quite a task if you could achieve it at all, and you certainly wouldn't achieve it very quickly. Whereas now, if the books are marked up at the page level, and many textbooks certainly would be, it allows a student just to do a single key press, go to page is the function, and to go right to that same page 326, probably more quickly than the sighted students next to him. So that's really what DAISY is about, and there's different flavors of DAISY. There's DAISY text. There's a recorded DAISY audio that would have human narration. That's what's used by NLS. And then there's the most rich form of DAISY can actually combine both. So you can have the electronic text and the recorded human narrated audio, and they can be synchronized. So you could perhaps be listening to the narrated audio, and when the narrator speaks a word that you'd like to see the spelling for or something, it's just a simple key press to go to the underlying text and have it spelled out to you. It's really powerful. There's a lot of interesting technical things about it, but the core of DAISY is really about equal access to information and access to that rich navigation that one never had in alternative formats before.
And if you want to know more about the DAISY format, we did an earlier show on that, which was number 1235, where we interviewed somebody from the DAISY Consortium and spoke about both the format and the consortium that developed it.
So you talked a bit about DAISY, and many of us know how nicely that's marked up so you can easily navigate through books, put in bookmarks, go from chapter to chapter, all kinds of fancy functions like that. But I believe these products also will read a number of other formats.
That's correct. We always talk about DAISY first for the reasons that we just discussed, but yes, other formats are supported and other types of content. So some of those other things that people are listening to or wanting access to would be digital music, of course, MP3 files and music tracks obtained from iTunes or from Amazon's MP3 store. Podcasts are certainly popular in the blindness community, as we know, and also access to text files, both TXT and Microsoft Word documents and so on. So the way that all of the above is managed on the Victor Reader products is with what we call the bookshelf concept. Both the Stream and the Stratus, the full versions, have a very similar interface, and that's the very well-known telephone-style keypad. So everything is based around that. It's something that everybody's familiar with. And the Stratus does have another model that simplifies it even further, which is just four arrow keys, basically, and a selection key, play stop. But for the ones that have the full keypad, what's done is the key number one is mapped to the bookshelf. So as you're pressing that, it'll go through those types of content that I mentioned. You have your talking books bookshelf. You'll have another for text files, another for music, and so on. So it separates it out to make it, the navigation even faster for you to get to the content that you want.
You brought up the keypad and the physical layout. Can you describe what features were invoked to make that easier to use for people who are blind or low vision?
Yes, and that's one of the things that, well, both we believe and we've been told by the users that's made the Stream such a popular device, and on the Stratus as well. So there's the familiarity that I mentioned with it. Everyone knows the layout of a telephone keypad. But then the other considerations are a lot of these electronic devices, especially the Stream, the smaller form factor ones and the pocket-sized players, If you start to introduce too many buttons, it can be very difficult to locate things if the buttons are too small, if the same button has multiple functions. So the idea behind the Victor Reader is ease of use is always first and foremost. So the keypad is tactile. The keys are raised just like they would be on a conventional telephone. And they have a nice tactile click when you press them. They're nice sized. The spacing is sufficient so that they're very easy to identify. There's two big prominent raised dots on the number 5, so you can quickly orient yourself. And that was maintained on the stream. The new version is significantly smaller than the original. It's almost 28% smaller. And the main consideration when we reduced the form factor of the product was our users told us, if you ever do make a smaller stream, please make sure that you never make the keypad. Don't change that because that's the heart and soul of the product. So that hasn't changed. Even the new one being so much smaller, the keys are the same size as the original and the same spacing and so on. And all the functions such as the bookshelf I mentioned to you, all of those things haven't changed on the new player. So the learning curve is very small for people that are already familiar with the Victor Reader.
And then you've retained your signature color scheme with the bright orange highlights.
That's right. Most of the users are going to be totally blind, but the product is used by a number of low vision customers, so that high contrast is very helpful for them.
Now, I thought it was interesting you mentioned that with your desktop version, the Stratus, there are actually two separate versions, two separate interfaces. Can you describe the keypad a little bit there and how simple that is?
Yes, exactly. So to compare the two interfaces, so what we call the Stratus 12, and that's the 12 because of the 12 buttons on a telephone keypad layout normally. The key one is always for your bookshelf. And then what we do, and it's highlighted with that high contrast that Nancy mentioned, the keys 2, 4, 6, and 8 are highlighted because if one could envision the directional arrows being imposed on those, so 2 is up and the 4 is left and so on. So that's maybe a little more abstract, like you said, for a senior or someone with some other challenges. So on the Stratus 4, there's no telephone keypad at all. There's just 4 very large raised arrow keys for navigation. And then there's a key in the center of the arrows for making a selection. One application that's proven to be very interesting is I was in Europe a few weeks ago. And some of the countries there have been delivering newspaper service and magazine service on CDs for some time to their clients. And their clientele is very similar to NLS here in the U.S., where it's predominantly older patrons. So when we're starting to talk about migrating those people over to the digital world, if you put something in front of them with too many buttons and so on, that they're going to be resistant to it for sure. Whereas once you introduce the benefits of navigating, they might have been used to putting in the CD and just pressing play and listening start to finish. But once they learn that it's very simple to go straight to the sports section or to the entertainment section that they want to read, and that they can do that just by pressing the up and down arrow to go by those heading levels, it's not such a big learning curve. It's not so intimidating, and the interface remains very, very simple for them to access. For both models, there's also a cover that goes over the top face of the player that can also further reduce the number of keys available. So what we have, we call it a smart cover that's available to go on the top face of the Stratus. So for example, even though we said the Stratus 4 has a simplified interface, we can even enhance that further if we need to. If there's someone with some cognitive disabilities or some severe motor impairments, this cover would go on, and the only things exposed on the player would be the power key, the play and stop, and the volume control and the speed. So all of the navigation part in the center, those arrows I mentioned, if someone's not going to use those, if they're that typical use case where they're going to receive their CD in the mail, their talking book, they're going to put it in and play it start to finish, eject and play the next one. This makes it so that they can't get themselves lost. They can't hit a key to navigate by heading or do something that they wouldn't know what they're doing. And we call it a smart cover because there's a sensor embedded so that we can change some functions if appropriate.
So you mentioned the scenario of an older patron getting media on CD. Does it still have a CD player in it, or you're using that as a generic term for like getting an SD card or something?
No, I'm not. The Stratus is a hybrid player, so it does have a physical CD drive in the front, a slot load CD like in a car, because as I say, so many of the libraries are still doing CD distribution, although most of them are moving to an online form of delivery, whereas the Stream is strictly a flash-based player. All of its content goes on the small SD cards that you're probably familiar with.
So can the Stratus play a regular commercial audio CD in addition, or just the special formats?
No, it can play a commercial CDs as well.
How much memory does the new Victor Reader Stream have?
It does have some internal memory, of course, for this operating system and so on, but that's not accessible to the user. So all of your content is how much storage do I have is strictly a function of your SD card, and the stream supports anything up to a 32 gigabyte SDHC card.
Now, the Victor Reader products have been very, very popular. And just to let you know, there's another similar product called the Bookport Plus from the American Printing House for the Blind. And we've spoken about that on a few other shows. Of course, that's what Pete uses, so we're more familiar with that. And in show 1116, we talked about using it to read. In 1133, we talked about using it to record your own voice. And in 1232, we talked about using it to listen to podcasts. And we will have links to all of those prior episodes of Eyes on Success, which at that point were called Viewpoints, as well as a link to the APH site where you can get more information about the Bookport Plus. Now for this week's high-tech item, what's new and different about the newest versions of the Victor Reader Stream and Victor Reader Stratus?
Now, many people may already have one of the older Victor Streams, and considering either upgrading or maybe a new purchaser might wonder which version to get. What is new about the new one that people would be interested in?
So as I mentioned, the base was to start by making sure we didn't change anything they did love about their first one, so they can have that confidence, knowing that the features that they're used to, the ease of use and so on, won't change. So the additions that we made, we're pretty happy to say most, if not all of those, came as a direct result of user requests. We track very closely at HumanWare feedback that we receive from users and distributors and so on. So some of those that we looked at for the new stream, by far the first and foremost requested improvement would be for us to provide a louder and a higher quality internal speaker on the stream. While the speaker in the original stream was, we would say, a functional speaker, anytime there was any competing noise in the room, it really became difficult to hear. Whereas the new stream, it's a very usable speaker. You can hear your book just fine. It's at least half again as loud. It's a fair amount of volume from such a small package. As we go down the list, the text-to-speech that's on board that would be used for if you're reading a digital text book or a DAISY text with the synthetic voice. We used to use the Nuance text-to-speech vocalizer. It's something that some of your listeners are probably familiar with. And again, I would call it a functional TTS, but it certainly wasn't the most pleasant to listen to for a long book or so on. So what we've done is we'd been using very high-quality text-to-speech from Acapella on the Victor Reader Stratus, and received a really good response to that. So we were able to bring Acapella speech to the new stream. And because of the new hardware platform and its capabilities, we're even able to bring a higher quality grade, can I say, of Acapella speech. It's the highest quality they offer. So it's equivalent to what you would get on the PC. So it's very high quality human sounding. We have access to more languages. The products are localized in a number of countries. So there's a lot of benefits to the new speech.
And you have examples of that on your website if people want to listen to the various voices?
Yes, yes, absolutely. If you go to humanware.com and it's under the support section for the Victor Reader Stream, there's some samples you can hear of the different languages. And then there's other improvements. There were some requests for improved recording functions. So you can do some high-quality stereo recording now. The unit has a built-in microphone, so you can do just quick, you know, vocal notes or simple recordings. But if you want to do something more than that, you can connect a set of stereo microphone to an external jack on the player. You can record in MP3. You can record in uncompressed WAV files. They're going to be large, but the quality will be really good in full stereo. And there's even a line-in function now, so you could connect a patch cord from an audio source, from a satellite tuner or something else, and you can monitor with headphones to the recording source to make sure that it's sending and so on. There's a digital clock. It sounds like a small thing, but it was a pretty popular request. So there was always a sleep timer on the player, but it only was for that function. So you could set your stream, if you were reading before bed, to play for 30 minutes or 45 minutes before it would power off. And now what we've done is the first press of that sleep key will tell you the current time and date, and then subsequent presses will work as they did before. The battery is much smaller and easier to disconnect, but it maintains the same battery life. That was another significant technical challenge for us. With the player being so much smaller and lighter, that means that the battery is also such. And the stream had always had a pretty impressive 15-hour battery life for playback, and we were able to maintain that with the new device, which we were very happy about. And then the new stream does have wireless capabilities now that we really believe will have some exciting potential for the future. For right now, what the wireless will do is if you're in the U.S., if you're an NLS patron, you have to authorize any third-party players to play NLS's content. It's protected. And the process to do that used to involve copying files from SD cards and emails and so on. And now what you can do is you can connect your stream to your Wi-Fi network. And the stream, as soon as it goes online, it will automatically check the Humanware servers. And if there's an NLS key for your serial number, it will automatically download and install it. And then for everyone else that might not use NLS, wireless is also used for software updates on the player now. So once you put in your wireless password and connect your stream, every time you press the new online key, which is the only new key on the stream, it's above the number 2, it's a small round button. Anytime you press that, the player is also looking at the Humanware servers to see if there's any software updates available for the stream. And if there are, it will offer to automatically download and install those. That's what we have for the initial version. And later in the year, we plan to do some software updates, which we've always done for Victor Readers. Software updates are always free, and we expect to be able to bring more wireless functions as we are able to work with partners.
So there you're talking about potentially downloading books and other reading material directly using Wi-Fi as opposed to connecting to your computer and transferring files over.
That's right.
Well, that could be pretty exciting. That's a lot easier way to do some of those things. So for people that want to find out more about some of Humanware's products, or specifically Victor Reader suite of products, where can they find out more information?
Yeah, it's all available at the same place. So our website is humanware.com. There's product information there. There's support information. There's audio samples of the text-to-speech that I was talking about, so folks can hear that for themselves. User guides, tutorials, frequently asked questions. And then we're happy to talk with you as well. So I'll give the contact info for North America, and you can call us toll-free at 800-722-3393, or you can send an email to support@humanware.com, and we'll be happy to help in any way we can.
And is there a telephone number for people who are not in North America?
I would refer you to the website for those. We have offices in the UK and Australia and so on. So the contact info for those, there's different email addresses for regions and different telephone numbers. And those are all available on the Humanware website.
And we will, of course, have the links to all of the contact information in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1332. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about repairing cars and driving them. Although blinded in an auto accident, Larry Woody owns and manages an auto repair shop, and in his spare time, he's rebuilding a 1968 El Camino and sometimes drives a car around a track. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at @EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.